period, but it was your choice. I mean, I anyway, fine. Right. So let me remind you where we were. So, okay, first of all, we're trying to compute Kovanov homology. And let me briefly remind you the definition as on that handout. We started from the Jones polynomial, which you've seen many times. So a circle is Q plus Q inverse. A crossing is a combination of a zero smoothing and a one smoothing. And the other crossing is also combination of a zero smoothing and one smoothing, but with different coefficients. And that becomes... So if you want to compute the invariant of a knot, say the trefoil knot up here, then you get a cube of smoothings of that knot, and the vertices of the cube are in correspondence with 0, 1 to the n, so with strings of zeros and ones of length n. And I like to put this, to project this cube to the plane so that it's skewered along its main diagonal. And again, I'm just reviewing. Meaning, it's divided into columns, and in column K are all the vertices whose sum of coordinates is equal to K. So starting from column 0 and going up to column 3. Now, in each vertex, I can put the corresponding smoothing, which is a union of cycles, and therefore a polynomial, Laurent polynomial, which is q plus q inverse raised to the number of cycles, multiplied by some factor of q, power of q, which depends on which crossing it was in accordance to the rules up here, okay? That's kind of minor, okay? It's the kind of things that make things not work because we never do them right. But still, in the big scheme of things, it's minor. It's like science. It's just cheats. Yeah.
So I got a question. The D sub, like each kind of arrow here is a map. And
I didn't get to them yet.
Okay. Well, no, it's just because in the video that you posted before, you talked about like this M and delta.
Yeah.
I'll
get to them in a minute. Okay? So, and then if you want to compute the Jones polynomial, you just take the sum of the polynomials in each column, and then the alternating sum over the columns of the previous sums, okay? And it's alternating sum simply because in the formula for the Jones polynomial, there is a minus between the zero smoothing and the one smoothing, okay? So then we said, okay, let's try to categorify this. So basically, every cycle corresponds to a Q plus Q inverse. So we replace it by a vector space whose dimension is Q plus Q inverse, meaning it's a graded vector space with two generators, V sub plus and V sub minus, whose degrees are plus minus one. Okay? So if you have Q plus Q inverse cubed, meaning three cycles, it's V tensor square. You replace it by that vector space tensored with itself three times. And since here there is a prefactor of q to the 6, it means that you shift degrees up by 6. This is this curly bracket 6 here. Okay? And then the idea was to turn the... Okay, so now we have vector spaces on each of the vertices. And then the idea is to take their direct sums in the vertical direction to get a complex, to get the chains of a complex. So to get a vector space in degrees in dimension 0, a vector space in dimension 1, a vector space in dimension 2, and so on. And now I need to, by design, the Euler characteristic of this complex will be the Jones polynomial. So, so theorem one is essentially already proven. The graded Euler characteristic is the Jones polynomial. But what's missing is the actual construction of the differentials. So the idea was to construct the differentials by putting a differential on each edge, as Andrew had commented. And two comments. First of all, the edges are in bijection with strings of zeros and one, of zeros, ones, and one star. Okay, where the star stands from along that coordinate, I'm going from 0 to 1. So this star 0, 1 is the differential that goes from star replaced by 0, so 0, 0, 1, to star replaced by 1, so 1, 0, 1. So it goes from the box 0, 0, 1 to 1, 0, 1. So I want to put maps on the edges, and in such a way that if I look at the sum of all of these maps, I will get a differential. So the square should be zero. This square should be zero. Now, we looked at it last time, and to say that going two steps up is equal to zero is equivalent to saying that all squares, so all faces, all two-dimensional faces of this n-dimensional cube anti-commute. And I mentioned last time that anti-commute is hard and commute is easy. And fortunately, there is a way to go in between the two. So, namely, you can borrow signs from the exterior algebra. Again, it was mentioned last time how. And once you do that, the problem becomes find commuting edge maps instead of anti-commuting edge maps. Alternatively, this is where the signs came from. But alternatively, I can just give you an explicit formula, namely, multiply each edge by sign as written here, namely, the sign for an edge xi, where xi is a string of zeros and ones and one stars, is the parity of the number of ones before the star. So the sum of coordinates before the star. Okay? And if you do that, so if you take this alternating sum, so if you take the sum of the edge maps with these signs, then all you have to do is to find commuting, to turn the cube into a commuting cube. I haven't answered your question yet. But anyway, the next thing is to notice that there are two types of edges. Namely, when you resmooth from a zero crossing to a one crossing, either of two possibilities occur. Either two cycles join into one, or one cycle splits into two. So here, one cycle splits into two. So if you kind of resmooth here, then this big funny cycle splits into two. And going from here to here, the two cycles here join into one. So basically, I only need to tell you what to do in these two cases. And the idea is, so the cycles correspond to copies of the vector space of V. So the cycles that are not touched by a resmoothing, I don't touch. I just use the identity map on them. And then, so all I need is to give you two maps. A map from V tensor V into V, which corresponds to two cycles joining together, and a map from V to V tensor V, which corresponds to one cycle breaking up. Okay? And that entirely defines the complex. Once I give you these two maps, the complex is defined. Last time, we thought a little bit about what these maps should be, or what constraints they have to satisfy, and we decided that there is essentially only one solution. Up to rescaling and up to ignoring uninteresting solutions, there is only one solution. Namely, M has to be a multiplication, so the vector space V becomes an algebra with M a product, and the product is, the easiest way to think of it is V plus is the identity, so V plus times anything is itself, and then the only thing that remains is to tell you what V minus times V minus is, and V minus times V minus is zero. Okay? And the co-product is defined by the formulas given here. So V plus becomes V plus tensor V minus, and plus V minus tensor V plus, and V minus goes to V minus tensor V minus. Okay? So at this stage, this complex is fully and completely defined. Okay? It's very, very complicated. It's very, very confusing. It's very, very hard to keep it in one's mind. But it's fully and completely defined. Should I say more about it at this stage, at the math level? I mean, of course, one has to prove that... I mean, one has to prove all the theorems. Oh, sorry, before that. So if we had more crossings, it's clear what to do. You just get a higher dimensional cube, which again you project in the same way. And and now we have theorems to prove. Theorem one, the graded Euler characteristic of this complex is the Jones polynomial. This was by design. There's nothing to prove. Theorem two, the homology is a link invariant. I will not prove it. This is not a class about link homologies. It's a class about computation. Theorem 3, this invariant that you get is strictly stronger than the Jones polynomial, and this is what I will prove today. Or not today, I mean, this is what I will do. Namely, I will compute. Okay? Now, I think, so the statement here is that the Jones polynomial of 5-1 is equal, of the mirror of 5-1, the bar here is the mirror, is equal to the Jones polynomial of 10-1-32, but their covariant homologies are different. I think since writing this handout, my conventions about what is 5-1 have reversed. So really it's without the bar. It's without taking the mirror. Namely, the question is, what do you call the not 5-1? And what I now call 5-1 is what I used to call the mirror of 5-1. So I don't need to take the mirror now. Okay? So let's start implementing it. So let me remind you where we were in implementing it. So, okay, first of all, we had a plan. Okay? The plan was... first of all, produce all the information in this cube of smoothings. So, not yet do any algebra whatsoever, but just in this, basically compute all the planar topology that you see in this picture. When I say planar topology, I mean cycles in the plane. I don't know algebra yet. Okay, so figure out how many cycles are in each crossing, in each vertex of this cube, and what's harder, figure out how the cycles relate to each other. So when you go along an edge, whether it's a cycle breakup or a cycle marriage, I mean recombination, and which cycle breaks up and which cycles combine. Okay? So that's the first step in the roadmap. The second step is turn it into a commuting cube of vector spaces and maps in between them. That's exactly the cube that I was displaying. Then produce a complex, in other words, basically sum in the vertical direction. So you get a vector space for each integer and a map between those vector spaces, and maps between those vector spaces. And finally, compute the homology. So let's do these steps one at a time. Okay? So, but even before that, this I didn't do last time, but I did do it at home, actually in my office, not at home. Just because we will need to work with examples. So here is the NOT 3.1, and I've typed it in as an example, and of course I'm lying, I didn't type it in, I copied it. Then here is 5.1, and here is 10.32. So K3.1 is defined to be this product of crossings, K5.1 is this product of crossings, and K10.132 is this product of crossings. If you actually want to know what 10.132 looks like, you know, do you want to?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, sure. It's sort of who cares, but let's nevertheless watch them, see them. So let's go here to my home page and to the knot atlas and to the Rolfson table of knots. And within the Rolfson table of knots, here is 3.1. Here is 5.1. Okay? And 10.132 will be somewhere at the very bottom. 10.132. Here is 10.132. I just clicked on it and here it is. Okay, so not. Okay. Good. So, yeah.
This borrowing signs, I'm not really clear on it. If you have a commuting, we just had two maps on a vector space that commute, and then you have a commuting square. What is the differential? What is this?
So
you want dd equals zero.
Yeah. So two answers. First of all, you're asking something about part three. So in implementation, it's far away. But no, it's fair. I mean, let's start. First of all, we have to understand the mathematics. I agree. So the order of proceedings is as follows. Okay. So first. So you know what? Maybe I'll describe the invariant, the definition, as we are going to compute it. Okay. So first of all, we get a cube of planar topological information, and this cube, I think you understand. So for each sequence of zeros and ones, you get a smoothing, so a drawing in the plane, right? Which is just a union of cycles. And for each psi, so for each edge symbol, so sequence of zeros and ones with one star, you get, well, a picture like this with one smoothing marked, which means that smoothing will be resmoothed. Will be changed from a zero smoothing to a one smoothing. Okay? So this is first step. Second step, you get a vector space in each cube by replacing each cycle by a tensor copy of V. A copy of V, and then tensoring these together. And you get a map on each edge. And this map is given by these m's and delta, by m and delta, okay? Which were, you know, which are shown explicitly up here, okay? So now I have a commuting cube of maps. And then step three is to turn this commuting cube of maps into a complex. So first of all, you multiply each of these maps by a sign. Okay? So instead of D0 star 0, you put minus 1 to the 0 star 0 times. So instead of d xi, you put minus 1 to the xi d xi, where minus 1 to the xi is defined somewhere. It's defined at the bottom of the page. So you multiply each of these maps by a sign. The signs are arranged so that there is an odd number of minus signs around each face. So as a result, each face now becomes anti-commuting. So going from here to here in the two possible ways, instead of equal, gives opposite results. Okay? And now I take the direct sum of the vector spaces and the sums of the maps. So basically, you take the direct sum of the vector spaces. And if you want to know how, you know, you have a vector that lives in this summand, and you want to know what is its image, the image will be the sum of its images under all edge maps that emanate from that vertex. Okay? And then that is the differential. And this anti-commutativity ensures that d squared is equal to 0. Are you okay?
Am I okay?
Okay, and then the problem is, and then comes homology. So compute kernel module image, but okay. Okay. So I'm still reviewing. Unfortunately, yeah, it's an intricate thing. So even reviewing it takes time. Okay. So. One further intricacy is for the Jones polynomial, the cycles had no identity. In other words, they were all the same, right? There was no, it didn't matter which is which, because each cycle gave q plus q inverse a factor of q plus q inverse and multiplication commutes. I don't care which q plus q inverse came from which cycle, right? But for Hovanov homology, each cycle gives a copy of the vector space, and on each edge I have things like, well, you know, on each edge I'll have a tensor product of, on each vertex I'll have a tensor product of three copies of the vector space, and I'll have to act on one copy by the identity, on another copy by the identity, and on the last copy by, delta, so that you get a map into four copies of the vector space. But in particular, I need to be able to say which copy is which, right? Because, well, here, one of the copies gets split up, but the other one stays in place. So I need to know which copy is what in order to know which components to act on by delta, okay? So the cycles we get should have an identity. They should not just be identity. I don't mean like the identity map, but like an identity card. Each one should have a name. Okay. So you know what? Contrary to how I started writing the program, Let me write this bit in a slightly different way. Okay, let me do a kind of Jones with identity program. Okay, so maybe I'll put it here. So what I want is to take K3-1, right, and not only get a list of cycles, but a list of cycles with identity, with in which each one has an identity. Okay, so in the old program, I had something like xp. So first thing I did was to apply the rule xp of I, j, k, and l goes to some power of q plus some other powers of q, but the basic thing was p of what was it? Maybe I should have kept a copy of the old program easily accessible. Sorry, so let me recover it. So this is xp, if it's xp, it starts here, I, j, k, l, and then in the zeroth move thing, I think I start at 0 level and go to 0, 1, to, so it's I, j, and k, l. So p of ij, p of kl, and you know what? Let's just tag it with some variable a. Oops, sorry. Let's just tag it with some variable a, just so that we know this is the first type of smoothing. And plus b times, what was it? P of the alternative is ILJK. ILP of JK. And similarly, something for XM, right? And what do we get? Oh, sorry, I forgot to execute this line. So let's execute this line and let's rerun this line again. And what do we get? Oops, it failed. Why did it fail? Because I've only entered the rule for xp and the trefoil now has only xn's. So in fact, since at this level I don't really care about the positive, negative, I don't want to even keep the distinction, I could have just written here a rule in which I have xp or xm, and that would work just, and now it should work. Okay? Then I need to take this and expand it. So I need to expand this thing. So I'm basically rewriting the Jones program. Okay, and now I need to concatenate lines. So for this, I need to do two things. First of all, I need to set the attributes of P to be orderless, because a path from I to J is the same as a path from J to I, these cycles are undirected. And I need to repeatedly apply the rule P, I, J, P, J, sorry, P, J, K. Ah, sorry, I'm P, J, K is P, I, K. And now I have my cycles. Okay? But
I think there's something wrong with that attribute.
Sorry?
Why is that still blue?
Oh yeah, I misspelled set attributes. What is it? One T?
Yeah, the double R is probably wrong.
The double R is wrong, but the double T is right.
Two T's, yeah.
I'm not an expert.
Yeah, oops, sorry. Okay. Good. So, actually, the trefoil is kind of small. So you know, in fact, the cycles here do come with some identifying information. This is the cycles that goes from 1 to 4 and back from and back to 1 to 4. So basically, it's a cycle that looks like this, right? But it looks like this after all the contractions, after all of these contractions. And this means that if this cycle went through lots and lots of other places, if it was much longer and if it was a bigger knot, then we've lost all of this information of where it had been. Now, I don't really care about it. What I really care about is that had I started the contractions in a different end of it, it might have gotten a different name. Okay? So basically, right, I contract P5-6 and P6-7 to get P5-7. And then I contract and I contract and contract again, but I have contract and contract and contract until I get P14 squared, but I have no guarantee that I get P14 squared rather than P56 squared. Right? The name of the cycle, the names of the cycles that I get here are not canonically associated with the cycles. So I have no guarantee that if I run it again, I'll get the same answer. Actually, probably I will get the same answer, but if I permute the inputs in some funny way, or I have no guarantee that I can trust this information, basically. So what I suggested last time was to name each cycle after, I think I suggested it. So name each cycle after the minimal index that occurs along it. And this is somehow canonical information that is associated with the cycle. Okay? So how would I do it? So for this, every path should come with an additional parameter, which is the minimal index that occurs along it. Okay? So instead of turning this into a path ij, I should turn it into a path ij, comma, the minimum of I and j. Yeah?
Could you just sort all of the elements by their lowest internal index? And then like also have a rule that just says flip that so that like the first one's always the short, like the smallest one, and then sort the entire thing each time.
Sorry?
So if you have one rule saying that Pij like becomes P ji if j is lower than I, and then also sort all of your paths by whichever path starts with the lowest element.
Yeah.
Then I'm assuming that basically what's happening here is that when it concatenates, it just sort of collapses down to whichever one it read first. So if you do that, then...
I'm not sure I fully understood you, but... So, again, my problem is I have a path that looks like, well, or a cycle that looks like lots of PIJs, where this is I, this is J, and all of these J, I's and J's are numbers. 1, 2, 5, 7, 8, I don't know, 9, 3, and so on. Okay? When I contract 7-9 and 9-3 to make a 7-3, I've lost the information of what was in between. So I don't know if what was in between would be the... It might have been bigger or it might have been smaller than these two. Okay? Now, I cannot... So, I still have to call this part of the path P73 because it's the 7 that will connect to the rest and it's the 3 that will connect to the rest the other way, right? But I somehow have to tag it with P73, which has a minimum of 2 somewhere along it. Okay, sorry, I hope I'm clear.
Yeah.
So, okay? So, in other words, yeah, so, basically, paths, instead of just being called by their beginning and end, which is the information that you need in order to know how to contract them, they also have to be labeled by the minimal number that occurs anywhere inside them. Okay? So, maybe I should change the name of paths to P, I, J, and then M. Right? But the problem with this is that I've declared path to be orderless, and now I don't know whether the M, or you know, when I see a thing like this, I suppose M would always be the minimum number. The minimum number would always be the smallest, the first index, because an orderless thing, Mathematica will automatically order in an increasing way. So I guess that would work. In fact, that's not the solution that I used, but that would work equally well. So basically, what I could do is, so each path becomes a three-index thing, where the last two indexes are the things being, are the ends of the path, and the first index is the minimal number that occurs along the path. So when I first create the path Pij, I should instead create it with minimum of I and J as the first argument, and here minimum of K and L as the first argument, and here minimum of I and L as the first argument, and here minimum of J and K as the first argument. And now the concatenation rule is if you want to contract a path whose minimum is M1 and whose ends are I and J with a path whose minimum is M2 and whose ends are J and K, then the result is a path. Will it work? Yeah. Whose ends are I and K, and the new minimum is the minimum of
M1 and
M2. So, min of M1 and M2. Okay? So, right. So now, each
I think it's automatically done. before.
What?
Like it's always the smaller number before.
Yeah, so each, yeah, but this is, we looked at the relatively small node, K31. Let's look, for example, what would happen if I do the same for K51. So,
yeah, it's always.
Maybe my notes are not sufficiently exciting. But in principle,
I think it's automatically done.
I think it's broken. I think this will not work at the end because.
Does a order list, when you're comparing the first two knots to concatenate, does the fact that P is orderless also mean that like perhaps M1 could be replaced with J, for example?
Yeah.
And then you're switching a knot, or you're concatenating a knot that includes the minimum minimum information.
So it's as if I'm allowing. I'm not sure if it's right or wrong mathematically, but it's.
I think
it's wrong.
I was gonna say, I feel like if you have two indices, you have one of your indices I and J will be repeated always, and so like when you say look for a pattern that looks like this.
No, but like you even compare it to what was computed before. What was computed before had six terms. This one, so for the trefoil, before had six terms. This one computes eight. So it just doesn't give you the same thing as you did before.
No, there should be eight terms anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
So is it always I less than J less than K less than L? I mean, that's no. How it seems in this case.
You know what? This may or may not work. I fear it will not. But I'd rather be safe, you know? I'd rather do something that's guaranteed to work. Somehow, it's too much of a trick, I suppose, if it works. It's too unsafe. I mean, in principle, when deciding whether to apply this rule, the computer will also compare all permutations of Z's with all permutations of Z's.
Yeah, I don't know what that. I think it depends on how that rule is even defined.
Yeah.
It's unclear to me how Mathematica interprets that rule.
So, it will apply the rule using the first permutation for which it will work. But we don't know in which order it will try the permutations. So. I think it's too unsafe. I mean, it may work, but I think it's too unsafe. So let me suggest something else. So basically, I want to put the minimum as a distinguished argument, as something that will not be affected by the orderless. So the way I did it was to write, so instead of writing this, I will write P, I, J, bracket, M. So P, I, J is still orderless, and then the bracket M, I mean, it puts it in a different status. So, I mean, strictly speaking, as a tree, this is the tree whose head is P, I, J, and below it there is an M. Okay? So anyway, let me change it. To that, this is painful. Now I have lots of typing to do. So, P, I, J, So P KL and then minimum of K and L and then P IL and then minimum. You know, if I do something too many times, it probably means that that I should automate it. So let's do it differently. Let me remove all of these. And since PIK, I think we're back to also remove these. Okay, now we're back to the old program, but what I'll do here is I'll add an so this is sort of temporary interpretation, and before contractions I'll add the minimum. So take the result of this, and before expanding and before contracting, I'll apply another rule, and the rule is P of I and J gets replaced by P of ij and minimum of I and J. So now I have to write it only once. Okay? So now every P got replaced by P ij and then the minimum. But I failed to re-implement the contractions, so here with minimum m, and then this one with minimum n should go to same thing with minimum minimum of m and n. Okay? Right. And now, and this I suppose shows us that what we had previously was actually incorrect. So here we get a path from 4 to 4 where the minimum thing along it is a 2. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So finally, this is the stage where I need to interpret closed paths as cycles. Okay? So, this expression here really means a cycle along which, inside which, the minimum element is 1. Okay? So let me just... So, before I wanted to replace it by Q plus Q inverse. Now I want to replace it by a simplified notation, which means cycle whose minimum element is 1. So let's just declare that this notation is C of 1, okay? So basically I have to take this thing and apply to it the rule that if you see a path from I to J with minimum m along it squared or not squared. So in fact, I don't care if it's squared or not. So raised to any power. Then I can replace it by cycle at position m, or cycle with minimum m along it. And I actually didn't need the open bracket here. So good. So I'm almost done. So I have three times, I have, in three of the smoothings, I had only one cycle and the minimum number along it is 1. Let's see if it makes sense looking at the trefoil. So in three of the smoothing, I have only one cycle. These are Z3. The minimum number along it is 1 because it goes through all points. And it should be a smoothing in which you have one coordinate and 2 zero coordinates. So I guess that was a positive trefoil. This is a left-handed trefoil. So this is 1 zero coordinate and 2 one coordinates. Then there should be, well, basically, then there are a bunch of smoothings with 2 cycles in them and 1 smoothing with 3 cycles. Okay?
Why is there no BAB?
Sorry?
Why is there no BAB?
The B's commute. The A's and B's commute. So this is not yet my program. This is sort of a hybrid between what the Jones polynomial program did and what I will need. Okay? Because what I really need is a smoothing. So this gives all the smoothings. This gives the sum of the cube of smoothings, a formal sum of all the cube of all the smoothings in the cube. I need to be able to point at each vertex of the cube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this isn't yet the...
But then it's hidden from you because it treats A and B as commutative, so it confuses...
Sorry?
The AB squared. In this case,
So again, this is not mathematically meaningful. This does not correspond to anything that you would want to do mathematically. What we got here is take this cube of smoothings. Sorry, what have I done? No, I clicked the wrong thing. Sorry. Where is Mathematica? Here. Take this cube of smoothings, multiply this by A cubed, multiply the second column by A squared B, the third column by AB squared, and the last one by B cubed, and take a formal sum. It's not mathematically, there is nothing useful to do with it. Actually, there is something useful to do with it. I could continue and evaluate the Jones polynomial from it. Namely, I could take this result. So I guess let's call T1 this. And now I could forget the fact that C's had identity, had that cycles had an identity. So I could take this result, T1, and apply to it the rule that C of any I goes to Q plus 1 over Q. And then this is a result, this is a step towards the computation of the Jones polynomial. Right. If I will substitute A is equal to Q and B is equal to negative Q in Q squared or something like that, that will be the Jones polynomial. I'm not sure what...
I guess I'm surprised that it lets A and B commute. A and B are just letters, and why does math... Because for us, we're lucky that the first...
Okay, because I'm using multiplication. The way I've defined the knot was it was a product of a symbolic product of crosses using the built-in multiplication operation. which is commutative. Yeah?
A thing might help to consider that you just have zeros and ones and you have an arbitrary, so you can build any arbitrary word out of zeros and ones. And in the end, you want to place all these zeros and ones, all these words out of zeros and ones in the cube somewhere at the edge, right? And then you link each vertex with an edge. It doesn't matter where it is. We visualize it by looking at a cube because we know the vertices have each three edges to another vertex. But it doesn't matter the program where the vertex is.
Yeah, the trefoil is so symmetric that we're getting confused. I think it's not always going to happen that every vector space 0 0 1 0 1 0 1 0 0 are going to be the same.
Right.
We need that information. 0 0 1 has to be different from 0 1 0.
So the problem is that the simplest note I can draw is symmetric. So
how do we just force A and B to not commute? How do we force this program to give us?
We can, well, that's what we're going to do next, in a way.
We are.
So this was sort of a beginning, okay? But now what we want to do is, I want to define the smoothing corresponding to a sequence of zeros and ones. Okay? So, I guess there are other ways I could have done it. I mean,
excuse me.
You know, in fact, so this is what I was going to do, but there are, yes?
I mean, we still didn't get exactly the middle terms were 3a squared b from what we did.
And sorry?
And out 27. I mean, we didn't get, like, in the middle we got 2a squared b and then b cubed and then 2a squared.
A squared.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get exactly what we wanted, right?
Where? Here? This?
In 27.
27, this?
Yeah.
Well, it's not what we wanted. It's a.
Shall we go further on that?
So, you know what? Here's an alternative. Here's a different way to do it. So, what I'll do is, you know what, let me do it and then explain what I've done, okay? It's probably easier. So, first of all, I need a new variable that I haven't used yet, so, I don't know, and that's not appearing in any of these, so, ijkl, alpha. I don't know. Okay, so let's set alpha to be 0. And then, instead of A, I will put nothing. And instead of B, I will put dx plus plus alpha. Okay, so, and let's see what happens. So, what happens is every time this rule is applied, okay, first of all, plus plus alpha means increment alpha, like in many other programming languages. Okay? So, the zero smoothing comes with coefficient 1. The 1 smoothing comes with coefficient dx. Dx is a formal symbol. I just called it dx to remind you of the exterior algebra. Okay? And it comes with coefficient dx. So for the first crossing that's being processed, it comes with dx1. For the second crossing that's being processed, it comes with coefficient dx2, because alpha gets incremented. For the third crossing, it comes with coefficient dx3. Okay? So as a result, I have, where all smoothings are zero smoothings, I get three cycles. So this is like here, except I've reversed orientation, so I'm actually going from right to left instead of from left to right. Then I get two cycles named 1 and 3 if crossing number 1 is has a 1 smoothing in it. Also two cycles if crossing number 2 has a 1 cycle in it, is a 1 smoothing. And okay, this is the dx1, dx2 vertex of the cube. This is the dx3 vertex of the cube, dx1, dx3. So basically, now each term here corresponds to a vertex of the cube. That was actually cool. That came out nicer than I expected. That was actually quite nice. I could even make it slightly better. So, right? Do you see the cube now? This is the 1-1-1 vertex of the cube, and there are two cycles in it. We really see the cube now. Okay, that came out nicer than expected. So let's pursue it. You know what?
Dx1 to be A and...
Any ideas how to... Sorry?
Can we put... Or that's the power.
No, this is better than that. This is better than what we had before, because each term here comes with a product of dx's which indicate which vertex it came from. Mm-hmm. So in fact, if I wanted to know what happens on the vertex 1, 0, 1. I will take the coefficient inside T1 of dx1 times dx2. dx1 times dx2. That will not work. Because I get two things. So in fact, I could have made it a little bit better by adding yet another rule. So let's merge all the dx's. So let's, actually, just as I merged the p's, let's merge the dx's. So let's apply the further rule and apply it repeatedly. If you see a dxi, or dxi dx j, you can replace it by dxij. So basically, instead of having dx 1, 2, 3, I want it to be dx 1, 2, 3. It will fail, yes?
Do we want the double underscore?
Yes, I do. But let's see why it fails. So it partially worked, but it didn't know where is the failure.
The last one.
No. Oh, here. It didn't know how to combine these two, these. So I should have allowed each of these to be a sequence of arguments and not a single one. And now it should work. Yeah, so, oh, and finally, these are not ordered. The the dx is, dx 3, 1, 2 just means the third coordinate is 1, the first coordinate is 1, the second coordinate is 1. There's no reason why this should be ordered. So I should have added here also set attributes of dx orderless. Okay, so set attributes of dx to be orderless. Okay, now I have a, so now if I want to know what is the 1, 0, 1 smoothing, then I look at the coefficient of dx 1, 3 inside T1. And, it's a single cycle. Good. So this worked better than expected. Any suggestions how to incorporate the differential into it? How to incorporate the edges? It's not how I did it. When I prepared it at home, my previous program did not work along these lines. But how do I incorporate the edge information?
You mean you want to generate edge set?
What?
What do you mean the edge?
If there's dx, then there's 1, right?
Yeah. No, but how do I know? So,
The first one should be 0, 0, 0 because there are no dx's, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we compare dx with having 0. And then everything else should be 1. Right?
No, but let me explain what I mean by the edge information. Maybe I'll explain this and then we'll take a little break and then see how to solve it. So, along this edge, a cycle broke up and became 2. Okay? Where do I see this information in the, or how do I see this information in this? So, for example, there is an edge, okay? There is an edge from this one, which is really the 0, 0, 0 vertex, to this one, which is the 1, 0, 0 vertex, right? So there should be an edge going from this to this. And along that edge, two of these cycles merge and become 1. But how do I know which 2 it is? Yes?
You can just compare the number of the, because you set the number of circles to be the lowest of the edges in the beginning, so you can see that if 1 and 2 will merge, then this will be 1, if 2 and 3 will merge, there will be 1, 2, and if 1 and
so
you can compare that.
So I agree that here it is clear that the 1 and 2 merged to produce 1 because 3 stayed.
But that doesn't work for the next
isn't
one.
Isn't always well defined? Is
no.
It, can we always...
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why not? Give me an example where it's not well defined.
You just said...
Yeah, where does 3 go when it turns into 1 and 2? Does it get merged into the 1 or get merged into the 2?
Where does...
So there's the C1, C2, C3 goes to C1, C2. DX2.
Third.
Yeah. Right. Good. So 3 disappeared, but we don't know if it got merged into this cycle or into that cycle. So we lost it. So there isn't enough information here to reconstruct the cube.
Does the DX show, since...
Sorry?
I mean, from the DX, we can't get this information?
No, the DX is just a label. Which vertex is this?
Okay.
No. No, the numbers inside the dx have nothing to do with these numbers. Mm-hmm. They're not comparable. Right? These are the serial numbers of the crossings, mm-hmm. and these okay. are related to the numbering of the edges. They're not comparable. By the way, maybe we should take a break, but I want to do one thing. I'm disturbed by the inelegance of the fact that this term has no dx in front of it. Right?
You want to start with dx zero?
What?
You want to start dx with empty. D0? Like
no, dx empty set.
Okay.
Okay? So, one thing that I could have done is I could put here dx empty set. In fact, let's do it. It's not the most efficient way to do it, but let's do it nevertheless. So this is dx empty set plus dx alpha. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then, in the combination, in the rule for combining dx's, I should allow possibly empty list of indices. So now, what's wrong?
Shall we take the union of dx?
Oh, the dx's, is, no. The problem is that this became a power too quickly. You know what? Let's do it. Let's do it differently. So let me simply multiply everything by dx of the empty set.
Actually, the power shows.
No, what should I do? What's the best way to.
Multiplying everything by dx works.
By dx of the empty set?
Yeah. Right up.
Oh! Yeah, you're right. If I multiply everything by dx of the empty set, then. Then for all others, it will just merge and this one has it. Yeah, okay, so this is slightly cleaner, but okay. How do I now keep the edge information? Let's take a 5 minutes break, 10 minutes break. How much do people want? What? Okay, 7. So let's meet again at 2:32. Okay?